Tonight, I want us to start out in Matthew chapter 28. I want us to begin reading in we'll read 18 to 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so here Jesus was giving what we would call and what we do call the Great Commission. He's talking to the disciples here. How many here are disciples of the Lord? You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if you weren't his disciple. A disciple is a disciplined follower. You choose to follow him. You spend some time talking to him in prayer. Amen. You take time to read the Word of God and to study and to show ourselves approved to him, to know him. You see, everything in our life, even making disciples here he's talking about, is a outflow or an overflow of our relationship with God, or it should be. See, when we spend time with God, then he commissions us. He says, I've given you authority, right? We have all authority on the earth. We've been talking about authority, okay? And that authority gives us the right to be his ambassador. As a child of God, we become what? God's ambassador, don't we? We are his, and we have the authority that's been given us. He says, go therefore and what? Make disciples. In other words, you're a disciple. How many disciples? Again, one more time. You're a disciple. Amen. And if you're a disciple, you should be able to help somebody else to be a disciple. Amen. You can lead someone to Jesus. I know Laura, she's always got somebody on her mind, trying to tell them about Jesus, amen, to bring them to Christ. And others in here, there are others there that, you know, we need to think about who in our life do we have opportunity to what? To be a witness to. Because that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Now see, over in Mark, let's turn to the next chapter, next book over in Mark, chapter 3. And here Jesus was calling his disciples to himself. Verse 14. Well, let's start in 13. It says, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him." How many of you know that was his what? 12 disciples, those that he wanted. And he says, "Then he appointed 12. There you go. That they might be with him. That's number one, to be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal the sicknesses and to cast out demons." So what was the first thing that Jesus wanted for his 12 disciples? First of all, it says what? To be with him. How many been with him? You've been with the Lord. You've been seeking the Lord. You're hungry for him. You spent time with him. How many been coming to prayer here on Monday night, Wednesday, Thursday, other times? You've been praying for a few years, some of you. Praise the Lord. We're spending time with him. He says he had a purpose for them to be with him, that he might send them out. See, it wasn't immediate. It wasn't instantly. But ultimately, he said, I want to send you forth. Why? He wanted more disciples, more followers of him, more people to know him. And when we get to know him, that is really how we're a witness for him, isn't it? You know what a witness is? What's a witness for the Lord? Or what is a witness even in the earth? Now we might have a couple different versions, but we're basically saying the thing. If me and Laura, we witness an accident over here. I might say it from my perspective, and she might say it from her perspective, but we're really saying the same thing, the same accident, aren't we? we're describing the same master. And you, when you get to know him, you find out about him. How many found out that Jesus is the healer? Amen. I didn't used to believe that. I didn't really know it in my heart. But I learned that. So I can be a witness and share Jesus is the healer. What is the good news to the sick? Jesus is the healer, right? What is the good news to the poor? Jesus is the provider, or Jesus is your helper. He's the one. What's the good news to the lost? Jesus is the Savior. He made a way for you to be born again. Would you like to know Jesus? When we know him, when we get to understand him, and we spend time with the Father and let his heart become one with us, that's how we really become his what? His witness. Hallelujah. We know him to be a witness. Acts chapter 1. Now, most of us have received this. Acts 1:8 says this. It says, but you shall receive power or authority, we could say. He said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many notice where it starts? We're first a witness where we are, aren't we? In our home. How many think it could be, you know, we could say that's our home, Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem may be your home. Or where you live, right? Okay. And he said also, and in all Judea, we could say, well, that would be maybe St. Thomas, Elgin County, right? That's what we're working on. How many are a witness in your home? You serve the Lord in your house. If people come to your house, you pray over your food and you let them know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve Jesus in my house. I know my sister brought somebody one time and she was all upset. And I said, well, I'm not going to apologize. We serve Jesus in our house. We're going to let people know Jesus can be their Savior. If they've come to visit me and they're not born again, then what do? We are a witness to them because we've received power. The Holy Spirit is upon us. He didn't come for us just to have goosebumps or to feel good or even power to just overcome, but also to be a witness, to display his authority, to be a witness for him. He says to me, what? A witness to Jesus in Jerusalem, our own home, and Judea, we could say St. Thomas and Elgin County here, in this area, and Samaria, where that might be. That might be all of Ontario. Huh? Maybe we'd touch Ontario and Canada. Hallelujah. we might touch our province and then we would stretch out. It says, and to the end of the earth. That would be everywhere else, wouldn't it? It'd be around the whole world. How many know we're reaching Brazil right now? Amen. We're a witness to Brazil. We are testifying. We're helping make disciples. In other words, disciples are those that, what? Are growing in the Lord. We're growing. We're disciplined followers. We're growing in the Lord. We want to be that testimony for him. But see, if we don't really think about it ever, how many of you ever think about reaching one? Each one, reach one. That's what we're looking at. We want to try to let that be a part of our heart. That we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about our neighbor. I know Ola over here, across the street. I don't know if any, you know, some of you know your other neighbors, you know, things, you know, you have a neighbor. You know, you don't, you know, sometimes I think if they put the sign out there, sinners live here. And we'd say, oh, must be Mr. and Mrs. Sinners live over there. But we don't think about walking across the street to talk to our neighbor. Why? You know, we don't care. But that's where we want to pray. And that's what we're praying about somewhat tonight is, Lord, what is it in me that doesn't care about the lost? Is there something in me? We want to pray for the lost, but we also want to believe God. We want to use our faith to reach someone for Jesus. See, each one of us can reach one of us. Somebody can reach somebody for Jesus. Maybe that's a backslidden person. Maybe it's someone that's not going to church right now. Maybe it's someone that's lost. Someone that needs a miracle. We can all think about someone to come to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about just, you know, it is important. We can bring somebody to church, and that's good. And we should. Yeah, if you don't know how to speak the gospel, we can all bring somebody. But we can also lead them to Jesus where they are. How many can pray? You can give your testimony, how you found the Lord, right? How many here have found Jesus? You are saved. I'm not saying you have to. I didn't say you have to be somebody that's just telling everybody and being passed to people. But there's somebody, someone in your life, someone that you see, someone that you know, that you can say, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. I want to actively, and maybe there's even some of you in here. You're going to seek God. You're tired. You said, Lord, I don't want the same old thing. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe you for someone to be saved, to be delivered, to get set free. That you'll use me, Lord. I'm giving myself and I'm not going to eat, Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus because I want this world to change. I want your heart for the world. I want you, Lord God, to birth in me your desire, what you really want. And you said, first of all, that we're to be with you. And Lord, we've been with you. I've been seeking you. You said that you filled me to be a witness, Lord. I want to testify of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, Father, I have a little fear in my life. I want to be free, whatever it is that's holding me back, Father. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 or 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or the Gentile. We know that this gospel, he said, it's not just, it's for the Jews, but also for the Gentile. It's for every man, every boy, every child, every person, whether they be old or young. The good news is for everybody. I know Diana back here, she's always telling her family and others. I hear her talking about people that she's working on, she's praying for. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to believe God. We need to use our faith. Faith is what? It is what God has said. What has God said concerning the lost? He said, it is my desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, I don't want anyone to leave the earth without knowing me. That's truly his desire. You say, well, not everybody was saved. Well, no. Not everybody has been. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read verses 6 through 9. And here Paul is talking and he says, let's start in 5, verse 5. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Because they were talking about, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. You know, who am I? And he says, you're being carnal. In other words, who's my favorite preacher? That's who I listen to. That's all I do. It's what I do. I draw men. They were drawing men to themselves, and they were going after them, people. He says, who then is Paul and who's Apollos? Ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave each one. He says then, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Can you plant a seed? For God so loved the world. Did you know Jesus loves you? Amen. How many can say that? You know, Jesus loves you. He's got a perfect plan for you. He's got a purpose for your life. We can plant a seed. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And he says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, according to the what? Grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I lay the foundation. Another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. There is a foundation that we can place, that we can sow a seed into somebody's life. We can share our testimony. We can share with others about Jesus. Hallelujah. And everybody says, well, we've been knowing that. And some of you have been doing that. I know that. But we want to continue to do that. We want to get it in our heart. We want God's heart to flow like a river from us so that we are ever ready to say, hey, Lord, this is why he said to be ever ready, right? For what we believe, to share Jesus, to speak of the Master, to talk of Jesus in the way. As we, you know, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it talks about talking him when we lie down. Talk about him with your children when you rise up. Talk about him in your house. Talk about him along the road or along the way. How many of you ever get in the street? You know, we all get to the street, don't we? Hallelujah. All of us have gone into the streets. Well, Psalm 126:6, he says, or 144:13, excuse me, Psalm 144:13, he says that you could bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in your streets. Well, we all get out there at some time or another. We go shopping. We get down on the sidewalk. There's somebody. There's someone that we can give a testimony to, that we can share with, and that we can be a witness to. It can be someone that we can befriend. Someone that you see, and maybe there is someone. Maybe you're already going, you know, maybe you go through the checkout with the same lady every time. Amen. Well, you know, this is, opportunities. We have opportunities everywhere we go. And I think it's in Ephesians chapter 6 real quickly. One last verse here. Ephesians chapter 6. And God wants us to realize that we have opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. We are, what, his ambassador, and we're ready. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Which verse was it? And Paul said here, for me, he was asking them to pray. And he said, I want you to pray for me, that utterance be given me, that I may open my mouth, what, boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he's saying here, one way that boldness can come also, we can ask God for boldness. Say, well, I have a little fear, intimidation. We can ask God for boldness. And he can give that. But we want to ask him most of all, first of all, for his heart. Amen. We want to believe some things. We want to believe, number one, that God directs our steps. Number two, that we are his ambassador, his representative, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 or 17, really through 21, he says what? That we are ambassadors for him. We are reconciling other people unto him. This is our first call, And finally, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. How many want to be unashamed? We read that Romans 1, verse 16. And then we realize we're the ambassador, and we believe Psalm 37:23 says the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered of the Lord. How many can believe those things? You can believe that you are an ambassador for him. You can believe your steps are ordered to him. You can believe, hallelujah, that you're not ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. But I can believe that the Lord will give me boldness when I need it. He'll give me the words to say, amen, that I might declare, he said, Paul said, so that I can speak the mystery of the gospel as I should. Amen. We want to pray that tonight and believe for something. Amen. Use our faith. Believe God. Let's believe God for somebody. Amen. That you can befriend or that you can become an acquaintance with. That you can begin to speak into their life. You can sow a seed. We can believe God that we're going to see them born again. Amen. Well, I know we got some people here around here. I've talked to you several times. I know George and Joanna across the street, and Joe and then his son came to church. Matter of fact, I was going to say something to him one day, and the Lord said, no, don't say anything to him right now. And he came to church. And that's why I didn't say anything, because I knew what the Lord told me not to. Now, I'm not saying not to say something to people, but at this particular case, I was trying there, but now I have a little relationship, see? Sometimes we need to build that friendship. We need to build a rapport of some kind. It may not be deep. It may just be about the weather, or maybe they like something you like. They like history like you, or maybe they like, you know, sports like you like sports, or something else in your life, and you make a little connection. Or maybe it's just about very simple things, and you start talking to them, but you can share. You can plant a seed of the Word of God into their life. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you. Did you know that Jesus paid the price for your sin already? It's already forgiven. If you'll accept it, you have to still accept it. That's all. You have to receive that. You got to turn to Him. How many can plant a seed of the Word of God? See, the Word of God has power, the Bible says. And when we plant that seed, God works with it. The Word of God is the seed. The Word of God, everybody say that, the Word of God is the seed. And when we sow the seed of the Word of God, that's when what? God can give an increase. Amen. I like to use what the Bible says, you know. Simple things, right? For God, yeah, you know, that the wages of sin, did you know the wages of sin is death? But there's a gift that God gave, eternal life. You know, I remember one time I was over here and I was talking to Malcolm. I said, you know, wasn't Paul something else? Wasn't he something? He didn't know what I was talking about at first. You know, he finally came around. You mean like in the Bible? I said, yeah, like in the Bible. He was awesome, wasn't he? You know, and they're like, you know, sometimes it gets the attention of people. Something that God may give you. I remember I was mowing the grass for this guy and I was praying. And I was asking the Lord, what can I tell this guy? And then I remembered, I had found out, because my neighbor, he was always talking to my neighbor and bothering her. But anyway, she wanted me to mow his grass for him. And I said, I'll do it for him. And I mowed his grass. But I was asking the Lord, how can I be a witness to him? Well, do you know what his name was? His name was Saul. I said, did you know there was a man in the Bible named Saul? And I began to share Jesus with him from that little point. He said, well, did he pray? Not that time, not at that moment. But he definitely was convicted. He said, well, don't you have to get going? Here's your money. You know, but God can use a seed. It's planted into a person's heart. Are you a waterer? Or, you know, someone planted it. You may be watering a seed that somebody else planted. Or you may ultimately, God's going to bring a harvest. But if we put out no seed, how much harvest are you going to get? What kind of harvest would we have? None, right? Amen. Well, I hope they see. You know, there's another guy. He said, well, I just live my life so, you know, people see there's something different about me. Well, you've been working at this job for like 20 years. And finally, the guy said to him, you know, I've noticed there's something different about you. He said, oh, he thought, oh, here we go. It's going to finally pay off. And the guy came up and he says, are you a vegetarian? No. There comes a time that we've got to sometime say something. We've got to express the good news. It comes through words. We've got to plant the seed. We've got to allow the Word of God to be our help. And that's what we're going to pray about tonight, about the lost and about ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thanks for listening tonight.